Hello and welcome to the Illinois Audio Reader. My name is Cedric Richardson, and in this first of two half-hour portions, I'll be reading you the news from the Decatur Herald and Review. The Decatur Boys and Girls Club will close until January the 15th. Director Shamika Madison said in a statement that the club is following the guidelines of the Macon County Health Department, which requested that schools and churches close until that date due to the number of COVID-19 cases in the county. While the club is closed, Madison said, staff will thoroughly clean and disinfect the building and restock sanitation supplies. Should this date change upon the need for additional precautions, we will update you with this information immediately as we fully understand the implications our closure has on families, said Madison. Decatur Public Schools announced on Tuesday that virtual learning will continue in all schools until at least January the 15th. The Macon County Health Department has requested all county schools to shift to virtual learning until January the 15th, and the Decatur schools will comply, said Superintendent Paul Frigo. We do continue the planning process for students' return to in-person learning, Frigo said in a statement, but as always, we continue to monitor the health and safety of our entire community as we make decisions on when it will be safe for students to return. As we approach the Thanksgiving and holiday season, I implore you to please take every safety precaution you can, wear a mask, wash your hands, stay home as much as possible, and as difficult as it may be, avoid gathering with people from outside your own household. Thank you for your continued vigilance in protecting our DPS family and our community. The district had planned to make an announcement on December 4th in regard to the third quarter of school following the winter holiday break. The hope was that some in-person learning could resume in January. Spokeswoman Denise Swarthout said the district might still make an announcement on December 4th, but that decision is yet to be made. And in a related story, parochial schools in Decatur returned to school in person in August. With the exception of Decatur Public Schools, who went fully virtual at least through the winter break, most Macon County public schools also closed or chose in-person hybrid models, allowing students to choose all remote learning while other students attend in person, usually including one remote learning day a week for all students. Decatur schools will make another announcement on December the 4th in regard to the third quarter of the school year, which is scheduled to begin on January the 4th. With precautions in place, such as requiring masks and social distancing, students and teachers went back to their buildings to tackle a school year like never before. This week, the Catholic schools announced they plan to go fully remote for the week after Thanksgiving and the one after Christmas break to reduce the chances of students and staff spreading illness after holiday gatherings. Other than St. Patrick, which plans to continue meeting in person after each holiday. LSA also plans a week of remote learning after Thanksgiving, and their school board is considering an extended e-learning plan following Christmas break, also said junior high and high school principal Allison Nolan. We are moving to an e-learning for the week following Thanksgiving, and most likely Christmas, but that hasn't been decided quite yet. Our teachers are preparing plans and getting students ready for a switch to remote if that becomes necessary or mandated. As of now, Our Lady of Lourdes, Holy Family, St. Teresa, and LSA plan to return to in-person instruction on December 7th until they dismiss for Christmas break, and would return to in-person classes in January unless Governor J.B. Pritzker issues a new stay-at-home order. I think it was mid-October when we had conversations with local health and medical professionals, and a significant rise in numbers was anticipated, said Debbie Alexander, principal of Holy Family School. With this information, Father Joe, Molly, and I decided it was in the best interest of our students, staff, and families to make the revision to our calendar. We all must do our part to keep our community healthy and safe, as well as do all we can to keep this virus under control. We recognize that as a responsibility that every community member needs to embrace. Argenta Oriana is using a blended learning plan, and families may choose fully remote learning. Moroa Forsyth Middle School was placed on the remote-only learning for 2 weeks in September. Meridian has been meeting in person, but as of November 30th, will be fully remote. The primary reasons behind this adjustment were due to the elevated amount of staff and students in the Meridian district being placed in quarantine due to contact tracing and the challenges that reality is presenting. The heightened risk of the COVID-19 virus to spread during the time between Thanksgiving and the end of the first semester, when there were more likely gatherings among people as a result of the holiday season, Meridian Superintendent Andy Pigott wrote. Mount Zion is remote through the end of the second quarter. Sangamon Valley moved to remote learning after a family member was exposed to COVID-19. The district plans to return to in-person classes on December 1st. We are coordinating our efforts with the health department to promptly identify and monitor individuals who have had recent contact with the faculty member to prevent further spread within our school and community, Sangamon Valley Superintendent Bob Meadows said in a letter to district families. Warrensburg Latham schools are meeting in person with remote learning as an option if families so choose. Citing a need to stabilize the community, William Will Wetzel has announced his candidacy for a seat on the Decatur City Council. Decatur is at a critical juncture. If we do not act now on stabilizing our community, we will be sacrificing future growth and prosperity, said Wetzel. He said officials need to come to grips with the fact the community, which was dependent for years on a strong manufacturing base, is shrinking and act accordingly. That means acting with compassion and purpose now, rather than making rash decisions down the road. Wetzel is a Decatur native and graduated in 2003 from Eisenhower High School. He is an IT professional for St. Louis-based Envision LLC, a consulting firm and staffing agency. He is married and has a 5-year-old daughter. While Wetzel, 35, said he's had a lifelong love for politics and been involved in a variety of grassroots campaigns, this is the first attempt at public office. It's time, he said. Among Wetzel's other priority is spearheading a switch to an aldermanic form of government, which would split the city up into wards. The council is currently elected at large. He also would push for rethinking the decision by the current council to prohibit the sale of cannabis in the community. He said the decision is depriving the city of much-needed tax. Decatur's only path forward is to ensure that the city government is working for all citizens, not just for a wealthy and powerful few, he said. Wetzel was among those who filed Monday to appear on the April 6th ballot. Also filing were incumbents David Horn and Chuck Kuhl, and Marty Watkins, Ed Culp, Adolphus Cooper, and Elijah England. Incumbent Pat McDaniel is not seeking election. If you don't need to do it, don't. Pritzker imposes more restrictions and calls for people to stay at home. Following weeks of warnings, Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday followed through with a series of new statewide coronavirus restrictions, including more limits on capacity in stores and shuttering casinos and museums temporarily. The rules start Friday and are the most aggressive step since the state's stay-at-home order in the spring to blunt COVID infections and hospitalizations. On Tuesday alone, Illinois tallied 12,601 new cases and 97 deaths. Under the restrictions, retailers must lower customer capacity to 25% from the current 50%, though grocery stores will be excluded and can operate at 50% capacity. Gyms will also be capped at 25%, and indoor classes will no longer be allowed. Gaming and casino facilities will be required to close, as well as indoor recreation facilities, theaters, and museums, although outdoor activities will be allowed to continue with limited capacities. Hair and nail salons and massage facilities will be allowed to stay open, but must adhere to additional capacity limits under the new restrictions. Pritzker said more businesses are allowed to remain open than when he issued a stay-at-home order in March because more is known about the virus. Tier 3 boils down to this: if you don't need to do it, don't, the governor said. There have been ongoing concerns about hospital bed capacity and the Illinois Primary Health Care Association, a health care trade association, praised the new restrictions. Our ability to effectively combat this pandemic is being jeopardized by the number of sick and those requiring hospital-level care, the association said in a statement. If we do not take immediate action, the consequences will be devastating. The Tier 3 mitigations also call for limiting home gatherings to household members and banning gatherings and meeting rooms, banquet centers, private party rooms, private clubs, and country clubs. Funerals are limited to 10 family members of the deceased person. To be very clear, we are relying on you here, Pritzker said. Nobody will go door to door to check on you, but we're asking people to hold themselves and each other accountable. The state health department, since loosening restrictions in the summer, has been monitoring COVID levels at a region level and applying restrictions based on infection increases or fatality numbers, among other data points. The region that includes Coles County in early November had tougher rules applied, including limits on indoor bar and restaurant service and crowd capacity limits. The mitigation measures and how the rules are applied have run into opposition from some business groups and lawmakers concerned with the crippling impact on the economy. However, Illinois Retail Merchants Association President and CEO Rob Carr, in a statement Tuesday, said the latest move strikes the right balance between allowing access to retail services and the need to adjust safety measures in response to the latest science about how to address this virus. While additional capacity restrictions will impose significant hardship on retailers already devastated by the pandemic, especially during what is usually the busiest shopping time of the year, we are glad customers will continue to have numerous safe shopping options, he said. The scary part is unknown. Drew Johnson, who runs various Debbie's slots and gaming lounge locations statewide, said the news of having to close within days of the announcement came as a shock. We obviously want people to be safe and healthy, said Johnson. I think our business will probably survive, but I am scared that a lot of small businesses or companies probably won't. The company had 60 employees across 17 Debbie's locations in Decatur, Lincoln, Chicago, and elsewhere. Johnson said he lost roughly 10 employees who sought other employment opportunities after the business had furloughs during the stay-at-home order. We had money through PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, and could pay the employees for a while they weren't working, he said. But who knows if there will be PPP money this time around. A Debbie's facility in Peoria is about to close due to a loss in revenue because of COVID, said Johnson. The business, since reopening in June, has put money towards maintaining a clean environment where up to 6 people could use the machines. Partitions were installed on the gaming stations over the summer. The stations are cleaned after every use, and the entire facility is disinfected every evening and morning, said Johnson. Staff and customers are expected to wear masks. The scary part is unknown, he said. We don't know how long we could be shut down for, and that could make or break a lot of businesses. It's going to be the kind of like how it was when we first reopening, said Angela Folke, interim CEO of Decatur YMCA. We're not going to have our indoor classes on land or in water. We're still going to abide by IDPH guidelines. We'll be able to do one-on-one trainings. Aside from canceling small group sessions like swim lessons or youth sports clinics, the big difference, she said, will be the requirement to wear masks at all times. Since we have been reopened, we have never been at 25% capacity, so that doesn't really affect us too much. While she believes her business is better prepared to handle the restrictions this time around, Cindy Jedrick, owner of Shop on Main in Decatur, said it's the timing that is most troublesome. Unlike March and April, those were not high dollar quarters compared to the fourth quarter and Christmas season. The impact is going to be probably felt 2 or 3 times worse than it was the first time, she said. When we were closed before, you maybe missed Mother's Day, some graduations, Father's Day. You know which are important holidays for retailers, but nothing compared to Christmas and gift giving and decorating buying. It's going to be a lot worse of an impact on most retailers, I would think. The store is going to offer shop by appointment times, something they did early on during the pandemic. She said this is for customers who may be uncomfortable coming in and being around other people. I'm more worried about people even wanting to shop because even though they've allowed us to stay open, they have told people to stay home. Plus, if there are no gatherings, no places to go, there's no reason for people to buy new apparel. Some state house Republicans earlier in the day called for the governor to convene a special session for lawmakers to give input on mitigation plans. Democratic leaders in the General Assembly called off a planned November veto session, and when lawmakers last met in May, they decided not to pass measures allowing lawmakers to meet and vote remotely after strong Republican opposition. 2 Decatur elementary schools are to close at the end of the school year. asked about including the General Assembly Tuesday, Pritzker said he had discussion after discussion with individual members of the Republican caucuses and taken into account their suggestions on a number of industries in consultations with doctors. And so again, what the doctors are trying to do is measure the risk and then take action based upon how we can limit risk but still keep things going, he said. Tuesday marked the 11th consecutive day new infections have topped 10,000, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. Pritzker also said he's prepared to take other steps. If these numbers don't start to curve, the governor said, then it is clear that we're going to have to take more difficult measures and go to a stay-at-home order. And now I bring you the obituaries for today. John Brandenburg, John J. Brandenburg, 80, of Sullivan, formerly of Shelbyville, passed away on Monday, November 16th, 2020, in his home. Funeral services will be held 2:30 p.m. Thursday, November 19th, 2020, at McMullen Young Funeral Home in Sullivan. Visitation will be held 1 hour before the services. Face masks are suggested, and please practice social distancing for the services. Burial will be in Keller Cemetery in Lovington. Memorials may be made to the Shriners Hospital for Children. Alice Marie Barr, died age 91 of Clinton, Illinois, on November the 13th, 2020. A private family graveside service and burial celebrating Alice's life will be held at Mount Zion Township Cemetery with Pastor Mike Wakeland officiating. Memorials in her honor, Mount Zion Presbyterian Church, Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care is in charge of arrangements. Please sign the family guest book at TanziusLoganMemorialPages.com. Francis J. Fran Cantwell, 69, of Decatur, passed away Friday, November 13th, 2020, at HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, ER. A mass of Christian burial to celebrate her life will be 11 o'clock a.m. Thursday, November 19th, 2020, at Holy Family Catholic Church. The Reverend Joseph M. Malloy is the celebrant. Visitation will be 1 hour prior in the church. The burial will be in Mount Gilead Cemetery following the Mass. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be directed to Holy Family Catholic Church. Moron and Goble Funeral Home and Cremation Services at 2801 North Monroe Street in Decatur is in charge of arrangements. Mary Comerford died on November the 14th, 2020. To honor her time with us, all will be invited when it is safe to gather to enjoy some beautiful music and the company of special people. She asked that everyone bring a bit of bread or food to break and share as a testament to the sacrament of life that she so loved. She hopes that all laugh and hug a lot. She also hopes that you keep your family in your hearts and that you love one another through the easy and through the challenging times. In lieu of flowers, please make a donation to Rock Springs Conservation Area or the Decatur Public Library. Moran and Goble Funeral Home and Cremation Center is donating her body for scientific study. Pearl M. Crawford, 95 of Monticello, died on November the 10th, 2020 at Carl Hospital in Urbana. The family would like to thank neighbors. Memorials may be made to Kirby Medical Center or Arbor Rose. A private family service will be held and interment at Monticello Township Cemetery. Condolences may be sent to the family at MackieWrightFuneralHome.com. Robert Hackle, 91, passed away November 13th, 2020 in Savoy. Reverend Mark Brown will lead a private service. A memorial service will be held later. Memorials may be made to Savoy United Methodist Church at 3002 West Old Church Road in Champaign, Illinois. 61822 or Preachers Aid Society and Benefit Fund at P.O. Box 19207, Springfield, Illinois, 62794. Morgan Memorial Home in Savoy is assisting with arrangements. MorganMemorialHome.com. Ruth E. Hundley, 93, died on November the 15th, 2020, in Decatur, Illinois. She previously lived in Forsyth and for many years in Warrensburg, Illinois. Private services will be held graveside for the family. Memorials may be made to the Warrensburg United Methodist Church. Tanzius Logan Funeral Service and Care is in charge of arrangements. Please sign the family guest book at TanziusLoganMemorialPages.com. Mary Sue Mifflin, 76, of Shelbyville, Illinois, passed away at 6 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, November 12, 2020, in her residence. A private burial will take place on Thursday, November 19, 2020, in Camp Butler National Cemetery in Riverton, Illinois. Arrangements are by Hao and Yaki Funeral Home in Shelbyville, Illinois. Memorials may be given to Shriners Hospitals for Children or mailed to Hao and Yaki Funeral Home at 415 Broadway, Shelbyville, Illinois. Winifred Ann Bell Shelton, 90, died on November 13th, 2020 at Lincolnshire Place in Decatur. There will be a private graveside service. Memorials are suggested to Tabernacle Baptist Church or Millikan University. Please share your condolences and memories of Winnie by visiting moronandgoble.com. And thank you for joining me here on the Illinois Audio Reader. Again, my name is Cedric Richardson. It's been a pleasure to read with you. Stay tuned for part two. Goodbye.